Welcome to the show, everyone. Cheers. It is New Year's Eve right now as I record this episode. And it's about 9:15 p.m. and my entire household is sleeping already. I hear fireworks going off outside already. So I imagine it's going to be a night filled full of fireworks because from what I understand, Tamarindo does not shut down on New Year's Eve. So should be an interesting evening and night to come, but lots to celebrate, lots to talk about here on this podcast as well. Why I decided to flip the record button here on New Year's Eve of all times at 9:15 p.m. is I set an intention 6 months ago to record a recap video just talking about the 12 dimensions of life as I've defined them over the years. So if you haven't seen any of those episodes before, you might even want to go check out the past ones or at least read the show notes and you'll see that, you know, defining these 12 dimensions of life has been a long time in the making. And it wasn't something that I just randomly came up with. I've dove deep on many, many different modalities, many different programs, Lifebook being the most notable one, where they have their own 12 dimensions. I'm not sure exactly how they refer to them, but, and I just remember going through that and thinking, wow, this is so impactful. And at the same time, there was a couple of the dimensions where I was like, this one seems a little loose. It's not exactly how I would do it. So I just redid it myself and it's evolved over time quite a bit and it will continue to evolve. Most notably, how it's evolved recently is that I've changed the name of it. So I was referring to it as the 12 dimensions of life, and now I'm calling it the 12 pillars of wealth. The reason being is that when we think about success in this world, we think about, a lot of times we default instantly to money, right? We think about how much money have you made? How many things do you own? How much freedom do you have as a result of that? And while there is something to that, we still live in a physical world, a 3D reality that requires that you have this money to be able to live the life that you choose to live. Like for us being down in Costa Rica, again, didn't happen overnight. It was choices consciously made over 20 plus years to be able to get us here. But if that's all we're focused on, are we really wealthy? If we neglect our relationships, if we neglect our physical health, if we neglect our spiritual journey, if we neglect the alignment that we feel with the people and the businesses that we work with or the companies that we work for, are we truly wealthy? So I started playing around with these words, and that was what I ultimately ended up landing on, was 12 dimensions of wealth. And that's what this episode is going to be. It's going to be my recap video over the last quarter. So the last one that I did would have been what, at the end of September, I guess, October, November. Yeah. So end of September. And it was time to redo it again. And I figured, you know what? I got to be of integrity and stick to what I said I was going to do. So here I am on December 31st, recording my 12 dimensions of wealth episode. And before I get into that, I also just want to say that today I co-hosted a Better Man Breathwork session. So this is an initiative that Mike Prince and I have put together that's a part of the Extremely Conscious Man movement that we've built that has now evolved into having these Better Man gatherings where we bring six guys onto a call and we just talk about real shit that we're navigating in life. Not just about the things that we typically default to, but everything else, like some of the stuff that I just mentioned. And then as we were approaching the end of the year here, and we are about to head into 2023, and we're about to call in and launch the Inner Circle, which essentially is something that Mike and I were both craving ourselves, which was more connection, more accountability, more elevating of our own personal lives, we knew that we would be able to rise faster and more efficiently and more effectively together as opposed to alone. Both of us have long operated as many, many guys do, which is as, you know, stubborn. I'm going to just go figure it out on my own. I don't need to tell anybody about what I'm navigating. I'm just going to deal with it. And then we started to meet other people. And most notably, we met each other. And we realized that we could have those conversations and that other people were seeking those conversations as well. And those gatherings were super powerful. But anyways, today we did a breathwork session. That was what we called guys into. We said, let's do an intention setting and a breathwork session today. And it was an opportunity for Mike truly to step into that version of himself, his higher self that is here to support other men, and not just men, just humans in general, to consistently tap into their higher self, to the oneness that exists inside of them, to the unlimited, untapped potential that they have by slowing down, by connecting to self, all of these things. And it was such a powerful session. And of course, the beautiful part about this is that we are participants. Now, of course, Mike was leading it today, so it was a little bit different because he wasn't actively participating in the breathing per se. He was more leading it. But this is the part that excites us the most about this, is that everything to do with the inner circle is what we crave. It's what we're leaning into. It's what we're committed to. It's what we're holding ourselves accountable on. And it's taking the shape of many, many things. But at its simplest, again, it's about connection. It's about committed, focused intention towards being a better person, a better man, a better husband, a better leader, a better father every single day. And knowing that if we have these tools at our access and we're surrounded by other men that are up to big things, this is the thing, is that the people that are joining us on this, they've attained mastery in many of the 12 dimensions of wealth, 12 pillars of wealth. Sorry. See, I'm still even getting my language down as I explain it. But there's never an end destination. We are always on this journey to constantly elevate in all of these different areas of life. And this just excites the shit out of me because I know how committed I am now. And I also know where I'm stumbling and where I could use support and accountability. And the guys that are showing up now are exactly the same. They are a clone of me living in their own reality. They've got families. They've got, you know, successful careers / businesses. They've attained certain things in life that people would go, wow, you really did it, you know? But they're actively seeking more. They're curious. What can I do to get in the best shape of my life in my mid-40s? What can I do to make sure that as I get into my 50s and my 60s and my 70s and my 80s and all of these different things where we start to think, well, life is over at that point. I'm already halfway there, which means I'm halfway to death. No, man. Like, one of the things that's really driving me, that desired way of being, the vision, is that it is very similar to an experience that I had a couple of days ago. I took my oldest son, who's 5, turning 6 tomorrow. He turns 6 on January 1st. And I took him out on my surfboard, which is a 9'5". It's that one right there. It's a 9'4" longboard. And, you know, it's pretty hard. Like, it doesn't have a lot of give. It's not a foam board. So it requires a little bit of skill. And, you know, I got to teach him how to fall off of it and make sure he doesn't get hit by it. Cause like, it'll take his teeth out if he actually does get hit by it, or if I'm not watching the waves or whatever, you know. And we went out there and he was a little timid at first, but, you know, eventually I thought, okay, this is going to be a challenge for him to actually stand up on this on his own, because it's 9'4" and it's quite a hard board. And he's too little to understand how to fall properly to make sure he doesn't hurt himself. So I thought, well, I've advanced enough just in the 3 months that I've been here that I could probably throw him on my neck / back and go for a rip. So we decided to give it a shot. And man, was it fun. I was like leaning over the surfboard and telling him to stand up so that he could get up and put his arms out and just get a feel for like standing in the waves on a board. And he probably did that like 30 or 40 times in the time that we were out there. And he got a little bit better every single time. And then We also worked through just some of the nuances of like, how can he grab onto my neck and me not get choked out, one, but two, him not fall over top of me because he's leaning too forward too much or whatever, you know? And we ended up catching a couple of waves, and we had one really good one where we were about 4 or 5 seconds up where I was standing on the board and he was on my back. And man, I don't want to just be able to do that for the next 5 years because, oh, I'm turning 50 and my body's breaking down. Like, F that shit, man. Like, I'm going to be in the kind of shape that allows me to do that in my 80s. That is something that drives me. I want to experience life with my kids. I don't want to just have them tell me about the Machu Picchu hike that they went on. I want to go do it with them when I'm 70. I don't want them telling me about that amazing excursion that they had in Southeast Asia where they went scuba diving and went through these caves and stuff. And here's daddy back at home, all decrepit and in terrible shape and not good mentally and angry at the world. No, I want to be with him. I want to go explore. I want to live life. I'm not waiting to die. I'm living right now. And I still have days where I think, oh man, and this is hard, you know, like this is not easy. I have a lot of things in life. I've attained a lot of things. I'm grateful for everything in my life. But there's still parts of me that struggle and I need support. And that's why the inner circle is so powerful, because I know I've found my people. Mike was one of those people. And now we have others that are joining us as well, which is super freaking exciting. And I'm trying to fix my lights here because they seem to be flickering on me, which is really annoying. There we go. I think that should work now. Okay, so one last thing before I get into these 12 pillars, and then I'm actually going to score myself. And I'm also going to talk about the quiz, the life quiz that I'm creating, that's going to be a more deeper dive version of this, because this is something, one of the tools that we're using for the inner circle. So as we head into 2023, one of the things that we focused on in the breathwork session today was intention setting, and specifically choosing one word that will be our intention as we head into 2023. There's a lot of ways to break down resolutions and goals and intentions and how to achieve them and habit building and all that kind of stuff. Like, quite frankly, it's overwhelming if you try and just go research, like, what is the best way for me to be my best self in 2023? Oh man, don't even do that search. Just find some people that have been down a journey and take that advice and move in that direction. But anyways, my word is flow. It's flow. And to me, what that means is I surrender to what is. I choose to operate in a state of flow in all aspects of my life. Like the days that I wake up and my body's sore and I don't want to go to the gym, some days I won't. Other days I'll go, do you want to go to the gym today, Trevor? And if I say to myself, yeah, because it's attached to that future vision, then I'll go. But I'm not going to beat myself up over whatever that decision is. I just know that my higher self is creating such a fulfilling life vision that I'm going to default to doing the things that serve me the best, that empower me, that make me stronger in all aspects. So that's why I chose flow, because the opposite of flow is indecision and perfectionism and self-doubt and all of these other words that might just handcuff me and stall me and make me not move. Flow means your water, you adjust, and every once in a while you hit a wall, but you know, you keep moving and eventually you bust through that wall and you go around the side of it. And this is the metaphor for how I choose to live my life. And this is what I'll be doing in 2023. And then the other thing I wanted to reference too is you can see on this t-shirt right here, love. So we only chose one word on the breathwork session today, but I'm going to choose the second word as well, which is love. Starting with myself. So one of the things that I've used to articulate what we're doing in the inner circle is a concentric circle that references the fact that you are number one. I am number one. You are number one. As men in particular in this world, a lot of times we feel like we need to be the protector. We need to stand for our family. We need to sacrifice for our family or our extended network, our circle of influence. It's just not true. When we do that, we actually hurt those that we're trying to serve. We get to put our mask on first. We get to be selfish. It's one of the most selfless things that we can do. I am number one in these 12 pillars of wealth. And then, of course, my family, my relationship with my wife, my kids, the connection that I have with them, how I'm consciously choosing to be a parent that raises them to be empathetic, kind, loving, powerful young men and older men as they grow older. And then, of course, the inner circle is the next layer for me. I know for myself that one of the things that have really stretched my energy over the last 10 years is that I've given a lot. In some cases, it's in exchange for money. Like, I have clients that pay me and they expect me to show up. It's an exchange. It's an exchange of energy. It's an exchange of money. In other cases, it's just me showing up and creating content and adding value and just trying to give, knowing that when I do, there's a law of reciprocity there. It comes back to me, and it always has. But at this time in my life, I'm ready for my circle, my inner circle. And I have some friends that I'm really tight with that I can have deep conversations with, and that I'll hold them accountable and they'll do the same, and we'll invest in life together, not just in, you know, business opportunities, but also just in, you know, our personal lives. But there's so many men that I've met in the last couple of years in particular where I end up hopping off calls with them and thinking, man, I want to spend more time with that person. I want to elevate that person. I want to amplify their impact. I want to bring my gifts to them. I want to support them. I have 20 years of marketing and sales experience. Most notably in the last like 13 years, 14 years in digital marketing. And I've had a lot of success. I've exited from a company. That company now, I own shares in the parent company on that. It's going to be a very handsome exit. It's going to take a little while to actually liquidate that, but I found the success that I was looking for in business, that I was grinding for years and years and years. And I've created impact. And I have so much to offer. And what this does is it allows me to focus my efforts. It allows me to focus my energy. My inner circle gets my attention. They get access to everything that I have. The teams that I built, the processes that I built, the lists that I built, the influence and the reach that I have, all of those things. And that's really exciting because I know that the people that are coming into our inner circle, like, they're up to big things and they're impactful people. And when you put us all together, oh, it's going to be unbelievable. It really is. It's everything that I've always envisioned. And it's coming true. It's all happening right now, which is beautiful. Yeah, I think I was talking about love. I don't know where I got sidetracked on that, but just back to love. If I don't take care of me, none of that stuff matters. So when I think of love, I'm not thinking about it from the perspective, I'm not only thinking about it from the perspective of my love relationship, like with my wife and how I love my kids and I love my family and I love my dog and all the things that we default to, but it's about loving me. It's about loving my journey, my experience, all of it, even the messy, painful, hard things, loving all of it and being grateful for it. I think about so many times where I have beaten myself up and taken myself off of the path that I was destined to be on because of my own insecurities, my own fears, my own self-doubts. And as I head into 2023, I'm committed to leaving that behind, to loving the shit out of myself in all its imperfections and all the imperfections in all of the 12 pillars of wealth that I've defined as well. So on that note, let's get into it. And I will put show notes down below. So if you wanted to jump to each one of these sections, you absolutely can. And I had this up on the screen. So I'm just going to pop it up here again because my video is right here now covering up what I was going to actually look at as I went through this. But when I did this back in September and then previously in June, I guess it would have been, what I did was I gave myself a score, 0 to 10, on how I felt I ranked in each of these pillars, each of these 12 pillars. And while the pillars have changed slightly every single time, so I don't have a consistent, you know, right from the start, these are the pillars or these are the dimensions, it's shifting as I go. I'm refining this to be more specific so that it's relevant to me as well as to other people that end up doing this as well, which I will be building out a quiz that has prompt questions that will help a person understand where they truly stand from a score perspective in each one of these pillars so that they can see, man, I'm really crushing it here. Really struggling here. I could use support. This one, I'm okay. And if I was to really lean into that, I'd be really good. I'd be really accelerating my growth in that area. Because I think that's important. You know, I think it's important to not only talk through this, but also to measure ourselves. What we measure, we can improve. So I'm going to take my 15 years of experience of building out surveys and quizzes to be able to come to some conclusion at the end in a report that says, okay, here's where you rank. This is your score in the 12 pillars of wealth. Here's where you get to lean in. This is where you get to find more clarity. This is where you get to seek more help, get to ask for support. It's so important. And I can't wait to do it. I'm going to be working on it here in the next week. And then, of course, I'm going to do it first. I'm going to have Mike do it as well. And then we're going to have all the guys in the inner circle do it as well. And then we're going to support each other in all of these different areas. And we're going to watch these scores fluctuate over time, depending on the season that we're in, the wave that we're riding, whatever analogy you want to use. So I'm going to start with physical growth this time. And I'm going to go through this part fairly quickly just for the sake of time. But with physical growth, and I'm not going to reference back to how I defined this before, because quite frankly, it doesn't even matter. I'm just going to move forward here. But in physical growth, which is one of these four different areas or quadrants that each have three pillars underneath them, the three pillars are health, nutrition, and fitness. And when I refer to health, I'm talking about self-care. I'm talking about sleep. I'm talking about, you know, how you take care of your skin as you age, like all of these things, taking time for yourself in the middle of the day, all of that kind of stuff, like getting out into nature, that is the self-care side of things. And if I was to give myself a ranking from 0 to 10 without looking back on the previous one, which will be interesting to go back and look at it, what I was doing before, but let's go with health. I will say, I'm just going to go based on intuition here too. I'm going to say a 7. There was part of me that wanted to say an 8 because I've been really focused in on my physical growth in the last 3 months, especially since we moved to Costa Rica. Naturally, I'm in a beautiful place. And if I just lock myself in this house, like what am I doing, man? I got to get outside. I got to get into nature. And I do. Every single day I get outside, and most days I'm spending an hour or two outside, and at least 3 to 4 days a week, I'm in the ocean, whether it's splashing around in the waves with the kids and their little surfboards, or I'm getting out on my surfboard, I'm getting out into nature. I'm also really prioritizing my sleeping patterns. I'm getting to bed, you know, it varies, but anywhere between 9 to 10:30 PM at night. And then I'm up like clockwork between 5 to 5:30. And that's been extremely helpful because I'm getting in that 7 to 8 hours worth of sleep and it's serving me greatly. I'm also focusing on And this kind of bleeds over into nutrition, which I can get to next, but drinking water, 4 liters a day is what I'm focused on now. And at first I thought, man, how am I going to drink 4 liters a day? But then I bought a good thermos, put some ice in it and some water. And now when this sucker's empty, I just go fill it up again. And I just sip on this thing all day. And it was just a choice. I had to make a choice and train myself to go, you need to drink water. You need to drink water. Keep drinking water. Why are you not drinking water? It's good for you. So I'm going to say 7, and I was leaning towards 8 because there's always room for improvement on this. But I am feeling really good about my self-care and my health and how I'm taking care of all the aspects of me. If I'm being honest, I could probably brush my teeth a little more. That's being just straight up honest. Like, I do brush them once a day, but you know, flossing and brushing teeth a couple of times a day is not a bad thing to start creating a habit on. So that might be something that I'll put into my micro actions to start create ways of being around that. A lot of times I got to remind myself, like, oh yeah, go brush your teeth when you wake up, go brush your teeth when you go to bed. It's kind of crazy to even think that. Okay. Nutrition. I've been really good. I'm going to give myself an 8 on nutrition. I'm going to give myself a 7. I'm going to give myself a 7. There was part of me that was saying, like, you're a 7, man. I was like, no, you're an 8. No, I'm a 7. I still got a sweet tooth. These kids have snacks around here. They've got the little gummy treats. They've got the, you know, granola bars, that type of thing. And I eat them every single day. And it does not serve me. I know that. All of the other things that I'm doing are, you know, I don't want to say offsetting, but they're definitely supporting me from not being a skinny fat dude like I was like a year ago. But imagine if I just cut it out completely. Like, what a game changer that would be if I cut out the sugar intake in my diet. But I'm not going to do that because I've understood, especially recently, to the idea of, you know, don't say you're going to just quit something. Like, just get rid of it. Because you won't last. You're going to have moments of weakness. You're going to have rough days. You're going to have stress that comes up. And the first thing you're going to do is you're going to break that. Then you're going to feel bad about it. And then you're not going to keep doing it. So instead, I'm going to replace it with good habits. And to me, that might look like just eating healthier sugars, getting more fruit in the house, healthy fruit. And then naturally not craving the refined sugars as much, and I'll slowly work my way out of it. So I'm going to give myself a 7 on that. Fitness. I'm going to say 7 as well. I'm just going to go 7, 7, 7 right across the board on this one. I've been 4 to 5 days a week in the gym and getting at least one surf session, like a good surf session in every single week. And every single morning I wake up and I do 40 push-ups in between breath work. And that also, it just gets me fired up. Like, I'm feeling strong, but there's still parts of me where I'm like, oh, this could be a little tighter in the stomach. Like, I'm in the best shape that I've been in for probably the last, like, since I was doing CrossFit back in like 2015 type thing. I'm probably in the best shape of my life since then. But I'd like to be in the best shape of my life. I want to be in exceptional shape. I'd like to be, and again, not from a vain perspective, but like just a functional perspective. I want to not have any back pain. I have very little back pain now. I used to have terrible back pain, walking around, sitting on the computer all day, terrible back pain. Now it's not like that because I've built strength in my core. I'm doing the old CrossFit exercises that build the quads and the hips and the stomach and, you know, the back and the shoulders, all of these major muscle groups. And quite frankly, it feels good. It took a while to get through it and it was painful as shit, but man, am I glad I did it. But there's always room for improvement. So I'm going to give myself a 7 on that one as well. Okay. So that is the physical growth category or quadrant or whatever you want to call it. Now let's talk about relationship. So in relationship, the three different pillars that are defined in there are partner, family, which can be defined as just your kids, or it could even extend as far out as you know, parents, siblings, that type of thing. I'm talking about immediate family, starting from the closest and working your way out. But once you get past that immediate family, now we're into this next level, this next area, which essentially I refer to as influence circle. And that can be extended relatives, that can be friends, that can be clients, that can be people that you don't even know, but they look to you as somebody that is supportive or helping them, or vice versa, right? There may be people that you look at and you admire and you model after. That is your influence circle. So partner five, I'm going to speak the truth on this one. My wife and I have been through a shit ton of stuff together since 2010. She met me at a time when I was going through a divorce and borrowed money from my mom to be able to get a place and get back on my feet and just find my creative, excited self again. And she also lifted me up. She supported me. She provided another loan to me at that time to be able to get me on my feet, to release some debts, to allow me to just start to pursue my passions. And, you know, the things that we've experienced together in that time is obviously we got married and my wife is East Indian, Fijian Indian as their background. And that came with stress, you know, just the different cultures and whatnot. It caused some challenges with our families. It caused some challenges with me and their family. And we also experienced loss, quite a bit of loss as it relates to building a family. You know, we lost two kids at preterm birth very long in the pregnancies. And I've spoken about this numerous times before, but, you know, I held my daughter in my hands for about 5 minutes before there was no life left in that body anymore. And it still to this day is one of the things that grounds me back into gratitude, just gratitude for life and breath and purpose. You know, I have two boys now. Sharmila and I have two kids. One of them's turning six tomorrow, which is crazy to think. But it's just another reminder again of how fast life goes and how little we have to stress about, yet we find things to stress about. And it's been challenging since we moved here to Costa Rica. I've been excited about moving here and have been very quick to adapt into life here. Like I was preparing to be Pura Vida a year ago. So when we landed here, I was like, we made it. We're home. And I just slid into this life. I started to embrace the sun. I started to get out, get a little bit more color on my face. You can see still pretty white, but and red. But just loving it. Just loving everything about it. The fresh fruits and vegetables and the people and just the vibe and the ocean and the smells and all of that. And Sharmila's really struggled with it. She really has. And it has nothing to do with Costa Rica. And we've been working through that. And it's been challenging. There's been a lot of really hard conversations that both of us have had. And in some cases, they have not been very kind conversations. You know, I've had to slow down, stop, and truly listen to her as she expresses what she's feeling. And not try and fix it, but just listen and be of support. And on the flip side, I've had to take stances myself and understand that when I look at others and then sometimes feel like, man, I'm being really judgmental. But am I though? Like I'm literally ascending and becoming more conscious about the impact of every decision that I make in my life and how that impacts my future mobility and happiness and just fulfillment and vibrancy. And when you start to go down a journey like that and you ascend, one, you end up on levels where you don't have a freaking clue what you're doing or what questions to ask, and you get your ass kicked. It's kind of like starting surfing again for the first time in 8 years, which is what I did. I had to go into that and go, you're going to get your ass kicked. Like, I knew I was going to get my ass kicked. And there's still part of me that was hesitating. Like, I don't know if I want to get my ass kicked today. But there's been other times where I'm like, all right, let's go. Very little chance that I'm going to die out here today. There's always a chance. There's sharks in that water. There's some significant riptides here and currents and waves and rocks and all kinds of stuff. But, you know, very little chance that I'm going to die out in the water. And I've got to lean in and go, okay, go get in the ring, man. You want to get better at this sport, at this way of being? Go get dirty. Go get scratched up a little bit. And it's the same thing with my relationship with Char. I know that there's certain conversations that I have with her and that I have had with her recently where I've had to navigate it delicately because I don't want to be judgmental, or at least perceived as being judgmental, to say like, hey, I'm making a conscious choice to become more conscious, to become more grounded, to become more present, to prioritize family and prioritize my physical health and prioritize my spiritual journey. And as a result, what I've found in doing that is that I've spent way less time on my business stuff, which means that I haven't paid as much attention to growing my business. And we've had to ride a few waves along the way here. Now, all planned for, but still, it's caused some quarrel with us. It's caused some heated conversations, but I've had to stand my ground and say, I am elevating. And those that are meant to be on this journey will elevate with me, and those that are not won't. And I have to be okay with that. Otherwise, I'm compromising my own integrity. And I'm not coming at it from the perspective of like, I got all this shit figured out and you just need to do what I say. Like that is judgmental and conceited and ego-filled. But when I know that I am elevating and I'm moving at a rate that sometimes is very disruptive and doesn't even make sense for a lot of people, especially my partner, that it's going to be rocky and there's going to be a possibility that it will break us, that we won't make it through it. But we've had some great conversations lately. We really have. And I've seen her lean in to the person, to be the person that I see in her as well. The person that I met 13 years ago. The one that was full of life and vibrancy and curiosity and adventure and exploration and energy. And I see that available for her, and she's starting to see it as well. But she's having to let go of certain things, mostly identity-based and fear of the unknown, because it quite frankly paralyzes her. The fear of the unknown and the stacking of all the possible scenarios and then the creation of the worst possible scenario in your mind before it even happens, it's debilitating. And I know that a lot of people can relate to that. I've felt it before too. I feel like I've done a good job over the years of navigating that and those thoughts, but she's really struggled with it. And I see her leaning into it though. I see her asking for help now and being met by people that can truly help her and support her. And that to me is exciting, because the opposite of that would be not trying at all, not leaning into this massively uncomfortable state of being. And it would hugely disrupt our lives and our relationship. And that's why I give us a 5, because I feel like we have a lot of room for improvement on that. And most notably, there's a few I was going to say tactical things. I guess you would call it tactical things, but like one of the things that we used to do before we moved here was we had date night every Friday. It's been more challenging to do that here because we don't have family here. But we can make it happen. And that's one of the things that we talked about here in the last few days over the holidays. And then the other thing is just getting away at least once a quarter together, even if it's just for one night. And again, it's challenging with no family here, but we've met enough people where we have trust in friends and even the babysitters that we've hired that are just good people. And we know that we can get away for a night, maybe even two. So we're going to make a commitment to do that, as well as to meet every single Friday and align on our life plan in a variety of areas. In some cases, it's just like scheduling. Who needs the vehicle at what time? We only have one vehicle right now. What school are we going to put the kids in? When should we go back to Canada? Should we go back to Canada? Are we coming back to here? Are we going to go to Petrera? Are we going to go to another place in Costa Rica? There's a never-ending list of stuff that we need to align on as life partners. And if we just kind of react to it when it comes up and we're like, oh shit, we got to do a border run in a week. We need to get PCR tests because of the stupid rules that are in Nicaragua right now. We got to go book the shuttle. Like, no, that's we can't operate like that. We don't do that in any other area of our life. Why would we do it in our relationship? We need to get ahead of this. We need to treat it with the same commitment and focus like we do our business. Like both of us are exceptional in business with systems and organization and focus and clarity and integration and all those things. And yet, we've struggled to integrate this into our relationship. We're getting back into it. So I'm going to give us a five with a plus, if that's even a thing. Family. So family, I'm going to speak specifically about my kids because I'm going to give this an eight. Because one of the things that I consciously made a choice on when we moved to Costa Rica was that I will not sit in front of this computer. Except for on New Year's Eve when my kids are in bed. And ignore my kids when they just want my attention. And we got a pool in the backyard, and there's lizards back there, and frogs, and spiders, and monkeys, and just all kinds of stuff to explore. And I take them on hikes all the time. I get them out into nature. I went and bought them a couple of little mini surfboards, and we go out at least like 2 to 3 times a week, right after school. I'm connecting with them. I'm talking with them. I'm reading books. I'm doing Spanish language lessons with Logan at night. I'm just making a point to love them and to give them my attention. And I'm not perfect. I still get distracted. I still have moments where they're yelling at me, trying to get my attention, and I'm doing something else, or I'm checking my phone, and I'm like, what? And I'm like, oh yeah, I wasn't listening to you. That's why you're getting upset. But man, I've made a lot of strides on that. And that was something that was very, very important to me, especially as we moved down here, because I was not going to move down to this beautiful place where we had all this nature around us and not bring my kids out and explore. Like, this is one of the main reasons we came here, that and their education as well. And that's another thing that I'm really leaned into is that, like, I'm very aware of what's going on with the education side of things and the socialization and the politics related to the schools and the business side of it and the people that I'm meeting and the teachers and the parents and all of that. Like, I'm just very consciously aware of it all. And I don't know what's going to happen, to be honest. Like, Logan's still in kindergarten, so we still have until next year to really decide, like, where are we going to put him? Because we don't want to move him around a ton. But it's coming up and we got to figure it out. Like, will I end up being a full-time teacher for my kids? Will we find a hybrid situation? Will we put them into just a regular private school? Will we put them in a public school for that matter? All of these things are still on the table. And they're things that I'm spending, conscious time on. So I feel really good about where I'm at with my boys. And how tightly tied they are to my future vision and the drive behind all of these things that I'm really leaning into, like putting them on my shoulders and going surfing. Maybe not when I'm 80, but at least being able to surf with them when I'm in my 80s. I've seen grandpas doing this before. There's no freaking way why I can't do it as well. My influence circle. So this is pretty broad, but this is referencing everybody. So I would say, I'm going to say 6. There was an intentional pullback from, you know, even my family, Shar's family, clients, you know, circle of influence, people that look to me, people that I'm following and that I'm paying attention to, all of that stuff. They got less of me because I chose to focus more on me, on my relationship, and on my kids. That's the truth. But I did that on purpose. And I'm so grateful that I did, because I believe that it made me stronger and more committed to dive in and really be of service to the people that need me. My family being one, right? Like just proactively staying in touch. Like one of the things that I did was said, hey, everybody, I'm shutting down my phone, but we use WhatsApp. Can you get on WhatsApp, please? And they were all pretty quick to do it. Like, yeah, no, we've used it before because they've traveled a bit. And then I set up a family channel. I was like, guys, here's the Turnbull Family Adventures in Costa Rica channel. I'm going to put a ton of stuff in here. You don't have to respond to everything, but I'm going to keep you updated on what we got going on here. And please do the same. Show me your kids. Show me my nieces and nephews. I want to see what's going on. And we've been pretty good with it. You know, there's times when we go a few weeks and we don't hear from each other, but then one of us pops back in and I feel really good about that. And then on the client side of things, like naturally, because I've been pulling away from really focusing on the business stuff and really focusing on just getting more aligned with who I'm working with and what I'm doing and the exchange and the exchange of energy and the exchange of money, I've naturally had less time put towards my work. And at the same time, I've spent less time engaging and providing value to people even outside of those circles, you know, creating resources, sharing information. Most recently in the last month, doing these Better Man gatherings and the Better Man breathwork sessions and creating the Better Man community, which are all foundational pieces to just be of service and to serve me. That's where it's coming back. That's where I say, like, if I was to give this a ranking and then look, like, is this on the uptick or the downtick? It's on the uptick because I've spent the time focused on me and I love myself and who I am and how I show up every day, which is giving me more energy to be able to serve others. And that's why I'm doing this. That's why I'm doing this. All right, I'm going to leave spiritual to last. I'm going to talk about business next. And it sounds like my children have just woken up. So I may have to pause this. Well, let me just take a little sip of my celebratory New Year's Eve champagne here. And when I say champagne, it's just like bubbly white wine or Chardonnay, which I never drink. It's probably going to give me a massive headache tomorrow. But business growth. So business growth, those three pillars are alignment, community, and abundance. Let me hammer through these. Alignment, 8. No, I'm going to say 9. My alignment with what I do for my business is probably the highest that it's ever been. Most notably because I am so confident in how my fractional chief growth officer model works when I'm working with one of my 4 clients, because that's all I choose to work with, that I can deliver the results that they're desiring and that I know that I can deliver. And that is extremely gratifying, knowing that, like, when I focus and I have connection with the clients that I'm working with and what it is they're doing and who they're serving and what they're selling, the products and services, and that when I pour my energy into it, that they actually rise with me. It's so empowering. It really is. And then, of course, the extremely conscious man movement and everything that we built around that, the inner circle, the experience that's coming up which as of this recording is going to be in April. We moved it from February to April. We just wanted to make it exceptional, and we just felt way too squeezed for time to try and do that in February. But, you know, what we're doing with the Better Man community and the guys that we're calling in there and the things that we're committing to, the micro actions and the accountability and the connections and the conversations that are happening, man, it's so, so gratifying. And on that note, let's go on to community, because community, I would say, I'm going to give us a, give me a 7 on that, because I'm really proud of what we've done to just build what we have so far with the Better Man community. We have about 60 guys in a community, because it's not just an open community where anybody can come in. Like, you have to show up. And most notably, you either have to come to a Better Man gathering call, or you would have had to have come to the breathwork session today. Now, we're going to open up other ways to be able to get in here in the future, but there's always going to be a gate, which basically says, so you have an intention to be a better man. Okay, great. Prove it. Show up. Do something. Come to this call. Share your voice. Share your truth. Sit through a 45-minute breathwork session. Feel the uncomfortableness of it, especially if you've never done it before. Take the quiz that spits out your 12 pillars of life quiz that tells you where you should be focusing your efforts on as you're trying to navigate. Like, what should I focus on that's going to elevate everything around me? Do the quiz. Get the answer. Take action in a direction that's going to have you improve in the area of your life that you're desiring to improve in. That's the gate that we are putting up to say, if you're going to be in this community, then we want you to show up. We want you to contribute. We want you to not just say that you want to have a different life, but to go do something about it. That's who I want to spend my time with. That's why we created the community. And I'm going to say 7 just because I know there's so much more that we have planned with that, including a podcast, including an exclusive opportunity for people in our inner circle to actually join in a live audience for our podcast, and even ask questions of our guests, because Mike and I are going to go out and get some people on the podcast that we really want to talk to. Like Jordan Peterson, for example. I'm just going to say it out loud right now. I want Jordan Peterson to come and talk to us. I want him to understand what we're up to, and I want him to give some feedback and speak from his heart about why this matters and what we can all do to be better versions of ourselves, to make this world a more beautiful place. And there's so many people on that list. Like, I can just think of a handful. Like, Bruce Lipton is another one. The Biology of Belief. Yeah, there's just so many people. I got a lot of friends that are making a huge impact in this world. Lewis Howes being one of them. I want to get Lewis on to have a conversation. I want to bring on some of the guys, ask them questions. How are you navigating this life? How are you finding connection in your personal relationship after struggling with that for years? Because I've known Lewis long enough now to know what he's been through in his personal relationships. Everybody sees what he's done from an impact perspective. It's incredible. The School of Greatness, the summits, the live events, all of the impact that he's created around the world. And yet he's always struggled with relationships. And now I see him in this beautiful, loving relationship. And I want to talk to him about it. I want to understand. What did you learn? What would you tell your younger self to do differently now that you know the pain that you had to go through to get to this place? My buddy Ruben Rojas is another guy too. He's the guy that created this, not just this t-shirt, but this brand, Love, Live Through Love. I want to support Ruben. I want to rise up love in this world. I want love to be abundant. And I want him to share what he's learned and what he's bringing to the world. I want him to bring his gifts into this podcast as well. So the community part, so much opportunity to grow. Abundance. So speaking of abundance, there is abundance in everything around us. There's an abundance of love. There is an abundance of energy. There is an abundance of time. There's an abundance of money. And I, for many, many, many years, have thought, is there an abundance for me though? Like, do I deserve this? Will I become wealthy? And as I've navigated over the years and had these different milestones of like, well, wealthy to me means that I don't have a job. Okay, cool. Wealthy to me means that I'm making 10K a month, right? Because that's, we, as entrepreneurs, that's what we do. When we're positioning offers, we say, make 10K a month. And then I hit that goal. And then it was get to a monthly recurring revenue rate of around $80,000 to $85,000 so that you have $1 million annual recurring revenue business. Well, I did that already too. And then I sold that business. And none of it made me happier. If anything, it stressed me out more. Every level that I went up, I just worked harder and harder and harder to prove myself. And most notably in the last 3 months, like since I last recorded one of these reflection videos, my connection to and my self-worth conversation related to money has just dissolved away. Now, currently, I'm actually making less money than I have in probably 3 years because I've chosen to go in a direction that says I don't work based on the hours that I put in. I work with people that I know that I can elevate, and I'm invested in them, which means that, yes, I have some retainer because it's still nice to get some cash to be able to pay bills and stuff, but I'm not trying to maximize my retainers right now. I don't want to make 20 grand a month and be working 40 hours a week. I just don't want to do it. That thing pulls me away way too damn much. Those two kids, most of the time for good reasons, pull me away because we're going to do fun stuff. But other times it's because they won't go to damn bed. I just don't have time to be putting 40, 50, 60 hours a week in anymore like I did for the better part of almost a decade and a half. And I'm in my mid 40s. I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to bust my ass anymore. But I do want to put my focused effort and all of my skills and my gifts to best use. And that's with a handful of clients, 4 clients in particular, where I now have a connected, vested interest in their success financially. As they rise, as they sell more, as they make more, as they're more profitable, I make more with no cap. And in some cases, there's even equity involved. I have to sacrifice right now short-term cash flow in order to put those kind of deals in place. And I'm excited about it. But as you can see, all of these things are connected to each other because some of the challenging conversations that I have with my wife are related to that. And while there are aspects of what she's expressing as concern sometimes where I have to look at it and go, okay, wait a second. What truth is there in what my wife is saying right now over the concern over cash flow and cash reserves and all of these other variables, like, for example, the stocks that I have, the shares that I have in the company where I sold my business to that company? There is a big exit coming for me, but I don't know when it is. It could be a while. Could be soon. I have no idea, but I can't plan for it. I can't put it into my strategic planning of when I'm going to go and buy a house here in Costa Rica with cash if we stay here. So there's all of these moving pieces that I'm constantly navigating with regards to my finances, my abundance, my relationship to money, doing things that light my heart up, that just feel so aligned, where I'm like, man, this is my work. This is what I'm here to do. This is who I'm here to be. And then living in this world, in this reality of like this place that we've rented, we don't own it right now. We have a house that we own in Canada still, but we chose to rent here because we didn't want to take the commitment on right away. We got to pay rent. We got to pay bills. Our kids still go to a private school right now. There's a lot of expenses here in Costa Rica that are at par, if not more than what we were spending when we were back in Canada. So I have to be aware of those things. I need to, you know, live in the 3D reality of the world that we live in right now and the lifestyle that we've chosen, while at the same time staying true to the vision and the connectedness and the alignment of how I've chosen to structure and set up my business, where I'm tied to the results of the people that I'm choosing to partner and work with. And that there is unlimited potential, exponential abundance available for everybody. And that creates a win-win-win for everybody involved. And there will be cash outs in the future from all of the work that has been put in over the years. And then the better man and the extremely conscious man stuff, to me, that will become massively abundant and profitable as well. And it's one of the things that I am so passionate about, because I get to hang out with the guys that I want to hang out with. Like, I think about how amazing it was when I played hockey in my teenage years. Like, when I played my last game of junior hockey and I sat on the bench in the dressing room and I cried, because every 20-year-old did the same thing, because, man, it was an end of an era. It wasn't because I'd missed the game. It's because I missed the people, the camaraderie, the conversations, the experiences, the highs, the lows, the pain, the triumphs. That's what I'm desiring and seeking again. That's why I created the Inner Circle. That's why we created the experiences. Because I want it. And then I found a buddy who's like, me too, man. Let's go do it together. And now we're bringing in others to join in on us, on this with us. And as we become more profitable with that venture, we will be able to give back more as well too. And we will build and create together. We will build schools. We will change the way education is actually delivered in this world. We will impact people that are not as fortunate as us because of where they were born, the color of their skin, whatever it happens to be. And that to me has such a deeply profound meaning to it that, oh, my alignment, community, and abundance in my business has never felt more connected and unstable all at the same time. But what the hell isn't when you actually take that leap into the big crazy idea? In fact, that's how I positioned the company that I have my fractional CGO services through, which is, your big crazy ideas are not crazy. In fact, we only work with people that have abundant mindsets and believe in unlimited possibilities. So the same goes for me. If I can't treat myself as a client and have that kind of mindset, then I shouldn't be working with me. So here I am, leaning in. Loving every step of it. Abundance, I'm going to give myself a 7, because abundance to me is not just about the financials, but at the same time, it is about the financials. It's meant to be about the financials, right? We still need money to live in this world. We still need money to do the experiences that we want to do. And things are pretty good, but it's just going to keep getting better. There's an uptick. There's an up arrow on that one as well. I'm trending upwards. That's something I'm going to work into my quiz. Am I trending upwards or am I trending downwards? Okay, lastly, spiritual. Spiritual. So on the spiritual side of things, we've got three pillars: connection, reflection, and expansion. And what I mean by this is connection, meaning connection to self. Do you slow down to speed up? Do you sit in the silence and not try and fill the void? Do you make time to actually read the book and not listen to the sports highlights in the background, or multitask something, or listen to the audio tape at 1.5? Because that shit don't work. It just doesn't. I know people want to talk about how you can hack certain things and the science tells you that you actually can. No, you can't. You got to slow down. Feel it. Listen to the words. Identify your attachment to a word. Go deep on that. Understand, what does death actually mean? Oh, geez, that's a big question. Now we're talking religion. I don't like talking about religion because I don't like conflict. Like, I'm speaking from my own perspective. My desire to connect to myself and understand, what am I here for? Why am I here? It's been one of the most profound things that I've ever done in my life. In fact, I could say it probably is the most profound thing. Meditation is the most obvious thing that I can think of. And I'm going to give myself an 8 on connection, because I'm more connected to my higher self than I ever have been before. And I'm trending up. Reflection. I'm also going to give myself an 8, because this is the conversation I have with myself. This journal right here is the second one that I've had since I got here to Costa Rica. So you can see there's already a number of pages in here. But I've been doing morning pages. So it's an exercise that's outlined in The Artist Way, this book by Julia Cameron. It's basically you just free flow write for 3 full pages about whatever comes to mind. And 90% of it typically is negative or not helpful in helping you progress to be the best version of yourself. But that's the point. Get it out, write it down, and then leave it behind and move forward in a more aligned, higher vibe way. And that's just one example of it. But having good questions asked allow you to deeply reflect on exactly who it is you are being and who you are meant to be. It's so incredibly powerful. And I didn't do it at all a year ago. And I was sporadic with it 6 months ago. And I was getting better with it 3 months ago. And now I don't miss it every single day. Like, I do it every single day. It's that important. I've seen what it's done for me. And I can't even explain the specifics of it aside from just try it. If you're feeling any of that internal angst of like, man, I should have more in this world. I should be more in this world. I don't feel fulfilled. My answer is always, cool. You ever sat with those thoughts and just wrote them out on paper? Like, old me would say, what would that do? Like, so I'm just going to write my thoughts about how disappointed in myself I am right now. Yes. Yes. That is the work. And then recognize where you're beating the shit out of yourself for no particular reason, because there's all kinds of ways to be able to see the positives and or the lessons that came from all of those things that you beat yourself up over, and or the childhood trauma that you need to dive into to actually address in order to move past it. And that's why this work is so important. As my wife walks in, I'll get Logan to bed. I'm going to be done in like 5 minutes, okay? Okay. And I'm not going to even cut that out, because I have one left to go here, which is expansion. And then I got to go get my son to bed because he's restless right now. Expansion. Expansion is about what do you put into your space, most notably between these two ears. What are you consuming? What do you believe to be true? Are you allowing new information to come in? Are you recognizing when you have resistance to something and challenging your beliefs? It's not to say that you're wrong, but just to say, huh, I'm willing to explore that. I'm willing to drop the ego of having to be right and instead seeing the perspective of others or other work. And then another layer on that is just meeting it all with love. Again, another reason why love, well, here we go, is another intention for me as we head into 2023. Because I can be a stubborn asshole. And at the same time, I can also be a very compassionate, empathetic, loving human that realizes that we're all just spiritual beings living in these bodies right now. And that we're all one. We're all connected. Hate doesn't serve me. Anger doesn't serve me. I don't need to be right about anything. I know my truth about what I know my truth about, and the other things that I don't, or that I'm operating from a place of ego, I get to lean into that and I get to challenge it. I get to be curious about it and I get to be wrong about it. I get to shift my perspectives and not beat up my old self that thought or acted in a different way or believed in a different way. Higher wisdom is incredibly important. And that's why I refer to that as expansion, because as we expand to these heightened levels of enlightenment, that's what it is. It's ways of being. Ways of being come from consuming and experiencing different things in life, hearing different perspectives, challenging your own beliefs, and elevating. And then looking back at your old self and thinking, who was that person? But then also going, oh yeah, that was me. I needed to be that person to be able to get to here. And I'm an 8 there as well. All right, I'm going to wrap it up with that. And I'm just going to say that stay tuned because there's more information coming on the inner circle. Come here, buddy. I'm just wrapping up. You can come and wrap up with me, okay? Just coming in, we got more information coming about the inner circle. I'm not going to reference any specific timelines and dates and deadlines and all that because I don't even know when I'll publish this and, you know, things might change. But the inner circle is that group, that tight connected group of men that are also on this similar journey that are seeking others that are committed to constant elevation and want to serve each other. Want to bring their gifts to the table, but also want to receive. Like, I want to give. I want to support the guys that are in this inner circle with everything that I have, all my resources, my list, my team, all of that kind of stuff. And then, of course, the in-person experience. The next one's coming up in Costa Rica. That's my microphone, son.
Can I speak in it?
Yeah, just one. Don't push the button, or else you're gonna mute it. Okay. There we go. Okay, give me 1 second and I'll let you sign it off, okay?
Hi, my name is Logan.
All right, so I am going to resist or to...
Hi.
That is trying to record a podcast.
Hi.
Because it's bedtime. Is it bedtime? Yeah. How old are you going to be tomorrow?
6.
Wow. Are you excited for your birthday party?
I'm so excited.
Well, then we better go to bed, because as soon as you go to bed and then you wake up, then you're 6. Did you know that? Okay, let's go to bed. Come on. Okay. See you, everybody. Spider-Man. Thanks for listening. Appreciate you. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of The Trevor Turnbull Show. I hope you enjoyed it. And if you did, please consider subscribing on my YouTube channel, as well as on your favorite podcast platform. So until next time, remember, today is a beautiful day of opportunity. Trust that you are exactly where you're supposed to be. So be grateful, be curious, and be brave.